The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick up Connie's Frozen Pizza in your local grocer's freezer. Turn your place into a pizzeria. Connie's Frozen Pizza. Real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is WMVP WSHE-HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Let me give you a little lay of the land here before we get to Courtney Cronin, who is awesome on the Bears beat. Tony La Russa still has not been cleared by his doctors. He is at Guaranteed Rate Field. Rick Hahn did meet the media, and he said that he will not manage these next two games. Then they go to Cleveland, remember, Fat, one game on Thursday. So we will see, and not a lot of clarity on the manager front. The Sox did move Lance Lynn as the starting pitcher for Thursday's game. Waddle's been all over that, thinking that that's a big deal to skip Giolito or to push Giolito back.
I think Carmen was the first one that actually looked into the future and said, I don't know why you're not reorganizing your starting rotation for that game, because that game, as Carmen described, if they lose to Cleveland, that will then give Cleveland the tiebreaker with regard to the division title and getting to the postseason.
Yep. The other bit of news that's happened in the last half hour is Nathaniel Hackett. He is the former Packer offensive coordinator who is now the head coach in Denver.
For now.
They lost yesterday on Monday Night Football to the Seattle Seahawks. A lot of people thought Seattle would be the worst team in the league. A lot of the teams that you thought would be the worst teams in the league
were frisky.
They were, yeah. The Atlanta was pretty frisky. They lost. The Texans
tied. The Giants went to Tennessee and won.
And the Bears. Yeah, I mean, and now Seattle. Nathaniel Hackett did walk back his decision, and he said that in hindsight, they should have gone for it on fourth down instead of kicking that long field goal.
Mellor and I were talking about this at one of the breaks, too. Listen, there's no shame in saying, hey, you know what? I've changed my mind. I would not do what I said I would do last night after the game. I mean, the right thing to do was, and from my perspective, was to admit that you made a mistake and move forward. We really haven't even broken.
Belichick would never do that. Belichick would say it's on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, he would. And we really didn't even break down what could have or should have happened in that game. It was just, it was really weird. And it left me with the thought, my overwhelming thought when that game was over was, I don't know where Matt Eberflus is taking our team.
Right.
But I do know this. My team that day committed three penalties for 24 yards and only turned it over once. That Denver team with more talent committed 13 penalties and fumbled twice at the one-yard line. The opponents won.
It's a great way to bring in Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears. You should be following her, and she's on all the shows here on ESPN 1000. Courtney, through that lens that Waddle was just speaking, it's a very, very small sample size. But do you feel confident that the Bears under Eberflus will be a disciplined team?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, everything about the HITS principles, even though B is not one of the letters, like, I think all of that stands for discipline and just the way that they played. I mean, that, you couldn't have asked for a worse set of circumstances. Yes, they prepared for the rain all week, but I don't think anybody knew it was going to be like that. That's like, you know, torrential downpours. And, you know, they still hung tough through it. You know, when this team is down 10-0, I don't know how many people gave them a chance to come back and win this game. And I don't know if if the team under last year's staff would have been able to do the same under the exact same conditions. I just think that what has been preached here, and whether you find it hokey, whether you don't actually believe that stuff can work on veterans or if it can work on young guys, clearly something clicked, because, you know, if they don't, well, first off, if they don't have Justin Fields' athleticism to get them out of a jam on that 51-yard play, the broken play turned into a 51-yard touchdown, they don't win that game. But, you know, to even get to that point where they were still battling in the third quarter, especially on that long drive the 49ers had, you know, early on, defensively, they set the tone. So I think all of that boils down to not only just winning the turnover battle, but winning the differential in terms of penalties too. Three penalties for 24 yards, and 15 of those came from an unsportsmanlike penalty that no one knew existed until Sunday, is a great spot for this team to be in.
Do you think, Courtney, also that is a residual of Eberflus deciding to play his guys a lot in the preseason, especially in that third game, so some of that continuity can be worked out before they kick off for real?
I think that helps. I know that the stat that's gone around about the starting quarterbacks who didn't play in the preseason and those who did and what the results were, because everybody wants to make a big deal out of Aaron Rodgers not playing in the preseason and such. They had to play in the preseason. We talked about this when that Cleveland game was happening. They have a young team that doesn't have it together yet. Like, why wouldn't you? There's, of course, risk of injury and all those other things that they have to consider, but to be able to give this group some confidence when you're young NFL players on a team that is starting over in so many different ways, you need whatever confidence you can get. I mean, we saw days where this offense really dealt with a lot of lumps and had to go through those struggles, and then the next day it might be a better day. And so why wouldn't you find ways to manufacture and build confidence in your guys? Because clearly, because of everything that they had learned in the preseason, and particularly some of those games, like, that stuff matters. It's the body of work was equivalent to about one full game that they got in the month of August. And I really think that had something to do just with the way that they were able to fight through it and figure out, okay, this one series wasn't the best. Offensively, in the first half, they couldn't get anything going. To have the confidence to know that things will, you know, potentially change, that adjustments will actually be made, I think that's a byproduct of everybody being on the same page throughout the preseason and getting those reps out of the way. So that that week one didn't look as sloppily as it really, honestly, they would have been given credit for, it, just in terms of the operation, right, not in terms of like the on-field play, like the operation and, you know, the play calls and that whole thing.
How do you feel about the way Justin Fields played? Because you know how this goes, Courtney. He's in the spotlight. He's a developing quarterback. He's far from finished. But everyone wants to hot take this thing.
Everybody wants to hot take Trey Lance, and I don't think that's fair. We saw, you know, one game with bad conditions, and most people would be giving Justin Fields the same sort of credence had he played like Trey Lance did on Sunday. And I think for Fields, you know, again, like, I remember when he was talking about that touchdown to Pettis, and that, you know, yeah, like, I knew he was going to be that wide open, and, you know, their defense is a read and react defense. They're watching me, and like, I knew I could make that happen. Like, that was a broken play, Justin. Like, it's okay to admit that was a broken play. But the fact is, they practice the scramble drill in Chicago so often for a reason, because when you have that guy as your quarterback, you're going to tap into what he can do with his legs. That when he's got two edge guys diving at him on 3rd and 10, after he drops back and sees that no one's open at that point, that he can roll to his left and scramble, I think it was 30.6 yards of actual field traveled by Fields on that broken play, which is insane to think about, and just to be able to buy time. Like, really good quarterbacks can do that. Not every quarterback has that skill set. The fact that he has that is a huge asset to this team. And so when we look kind of at the tale of two halves for this offense, there are definitely concerns. Like, I don't think we can go all in and say this was the best performance ever at all. I mean, great adjustment, sure, but they should have been attacking a secondary that didn't have Jimmy Ward in it far sooner than the third quarter. They should have found ways to scheme Darnell Mooney or Equanimeous St. Brown or Byron Pringle. I know Pringle had the one shot that was overthrown in the end zone. Like, you got to find ways to get more of your playmakers involved earlier, because you're not going to be playing in those same sort of conditions every week. And against, you know, a team that clearly is struggling in a lot of respects, the San Francisco 49ers. But I think by and large, there's a lot to be pleased with,
yeah,
with Justin Fields and the way that he played on Sunday.
I said that, you know, Courtney, that you're not going to win many games in this league with 204 total yards in a game. But conversely, you're not going to lose a lot of games in this league when you commit three penalties for 24 yards and you mm-hmm. turn it over once. So, you know, the fact that maybe they don't have as many talented skilled players as you would like, their discipline and the foundation that they're building will keep them in games. How do you think they'll build on what happened on Sunday with regard to how they'll play Sunday night against Green Bay?
I think they're going to have to go almost like infinitely harder than what they did and not be able to lean on that, because you heard Roquan Smith, you're facing a pretty agitated Aaron Rodgers when they go to Green Bay. And that's obviously the home field advantage that Green Bay has. We don't have to talk about the record that Aaron Rodgers has against the Bears is known. That ups the ante. I mean, yeah, San Francisco on paper, or at least going into the season, looked like it can contend for a Super Bowl. We know the injuries now. Elijah Mitchell's out for a couple months. Their story could change very drastically. I don't think Christian Watson's going to be dropping wide open balls like that anymore. I don't think that some of the miscues that Rodgers had with his receivers are going to continue to happen. So if you're the Bears, you can't go into this thinking, yeah, we got one. And I don't think they would do that anyways. I mean, you heard Matt Eberflus yesterday give out every cliche about it's about us this week. It's, you know, not focused on the rivalry. They know what this rivalry means. They know what's at stake in this game. I mean, we've heard Justin Fields talk multiple times. There's two things he wants in his football career: to beat the Green Bay Packers and to win a Super Bowl. Like, the fact that he singles out a team like that, I think just shows you the magnitude that he knows this game carries. And on top of that, everything from last year with the I own you and just like those the storylines that come up again and again with his Packers-Bears rivalry, like, there's a lot here. And they just can't get ahead of themselves. And I don't really think that they are, because of the way that they've preached we're very much in the beginning of this process and incremental improvements and, you know, showing players that, you, like, especially the guys that just got here, like, not trying to, like, make people something that they're not right away in terms of learning the playbook and all stuff like that. I think there's kind of a level-headed approach to it, which they have to carry over from week to week.
And, Courtney, you've covered this rivalry before. You've covered the Vikings-Packers rivalry before. What you were just saying about Fields, how does Eberflus feel about it? We've covered many coaches where Lovie prioritized it just like Fields. His number one thing was, we're going to go beat the Packers, we're going to win the division, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. And then, like, others have said, look, it's just another game, we can't put this ahead of other things. Do you believe Eberflus will put on the tape of Aaron Rodgers saying, I own you, and will play that up? Or will he treat this more like just another game?
You know, I mean, if you listen to him yesterday, he makes you think that he's not going to do the former and try to, like, light a fire under this group, because there are guys like Roquan Smith, Eddie Jackson, Jalen Johnson, who have been part of defenses that have gotten burned. They don't need a reminder of that. Robert Quinn, too. Like, go look at any of the veterans. They know what Aaron Rodgers is and what he's capable of, and I don't think they need any sort of reminder with that. But Eberflus is a history guy, right? Like, you heard him, like, shout out whatever the book was that the Chicago Tribune wrote. Like, it was in the final press conference before, I think it was before, you know, after cuts were made. Like, he knows the history of this team. He reads a lot. He studies the history of this. Like, he obviously knows the magnitude of this rivalry. It's one of the best rivalries in the NFL, period, no matter what the Bears' record is or what's happened the last couple of years. So I think he's going to, you know, it almost as a way of, like, respecting the game, you know, just what he probably will go through this week and letting players know, yeah, of course this one carries an extra magnitude, but don't make this one weigh any more than the other 16 games that you have to play, because that's when you start making mistakes.
Courtney, what'd you make of the guard rotation, and what do you project will be how they handle that situation going forward?
I think that was, I know that Eberflus, when I asked him about it, said that was the plan all week. I don't know why. That's a state secret, apparently, to not be able to reveal that. But nonetheless, like, yeah, I mean, maybe that threw off, I don't know, Javon Kinlaw got hurt. I'm not going to try to, like, figure out if that actually, like, did anything. But Tevin Jenkins surprised a lot of people because when he first went out, I was watching him on the sideline, and my thought was, is he injured? Did they just pull him? Because it's hard to tell. Those first couple series on offense in the first quarter, is it the offensive line? Is it Fields holding onto the ball too long? Is a byproduct of receivers not getting open? And then you see Tevin Jenkins out of the starting five, and you have to ask yourself at that moment, well, what is this? And then you start seeing them rotating back and forth. And, you know, he's still got – Patrick still has the club on his hand, so I'll be curious when we're at practice tomorrow to see, is he snapping at all? Does he still have that big cast? Because that could be the way – that they continue going forward until he's healthy enough to play center.
Right. I was going to say, is it just that he's too good to keep out of the lineup no matter how well Tevin Jenkins is progressing? And once he's able to snap, he'll just go back to center and then we'll see full time Tevin?
Yeah, I tend to think so. I mean, this was your big free agent that you got this offseason. You had three of them, and none of them were massive names, but this was your big one because of letting James Daniels walk in free agency and bringing in somebody who has that flexibility on the interior. So I think that it was like, the guy's healthy enough. He's a veteran. He kind of earns that right to tell you when he's ready to play and when he's not. And they both looked good. I mean, I'm really honestly impressed with Tevin Jenkins and watching some of the game back, of how he was able to, like, walk guys back. I mean, he's a strong dude, and I know that this tackle transition for him has not exactly been the easiest thing to take on, and he's, you know, told me that he feels like he's still a tackle at heart, but he's done really well with it, and I think it's a good success story that the Bears, for now, can hang their hat on.
Were you surprised at all that Cole Kmet was not used more in the passing game, or was that a very good adjustment that they made, in your opinion, kicking him in to help out with some protection issues?
I mean, if you've got Nick Bosa on one side, you should always max protect. Like, I've been on the other side of it, covering teams that went against this defense when they had Khalil Mack, and they failed to do that. So
yes,
that's, if you have a game wrecker on the other side, you're going to need multiple tight ends to help with blocking. So I was curious because, of course, when you're watching it, you see, you're like, all right, well, he's not really getting targeted all that much. Where is he? Okay, he's in line. Like, that made sense from this game plan. I don't know if that means it's going to be like that every single week. Of course, you know, once they get their foot on the gas going offensively, and we've heard about the Pettis play and then the Equanimeous Brown touchdown and that go-ahead run that they had from Khalil Herbert, there will be opportunities for Cole Kmet. I don't think this is like a byproduct of this is what it's going to be for him, but, you know, you play the tight end position. Sometimes you're going to be called on to block more than others, and I think he's okay with that.
And, Courtney, I think this is where Getsy can if he flexes a little muscle against his former team and what happened to Hackett, that, hey, I was the guy behind the guy who made it work in Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't just... Luke Getsy talked to us, and anytime anything is not blown out of proportion, but maybe projected a little bit too far to his liking, he'll shut it down.
Yeah.
I don't think this is somebody who's going to get up there and start banging his chest, over his team winning and Nathaniel Hackett's team losing and Green Bay losing last week. He's a very mild-mannered individual, which it doesn't come with, like, that's the reason I like talking to him so much. It doesn't come with the same boring coach speak. Like, he'll tell you if somebody messed up. I mean, he was very honest with us during the preseason that, you know, especially going through some of the plays we asked him about in preseason games with Fields, and then, you know, where he was back at OTAs to where he is now. Like, I really enjoy the perspective. Of course you'd like to hear coaches and kind of what they really, really think of their former teams, but I just don't think you're going to get that in a press conference setting from Luke Getsy.
Courtney, I don't know if you had a chance to see all of the Minnesota Green Bay game, but as someone who covered that team recently, the changes that have been made with Kevin O'Connell now in charge and a team that looks like they had a little bit of Zim fatigue, do you think, again, awful early, do you think this could be a reshaping of the balance of the division, or the Vikings maybe a more complete team than the Packers?
Well, I mean, there was a reason that, you know, the people, I think their over-under going into the year was 9.5, which that's an awfully high number for a team that missed the playoffs the last 2 years. But I think you can look at how effectively they used different personnel groupings that they hadn't used under Mike Zimmer. Like, they were one of, like, the few, you know, their 11 personnel grouping, like, you know, going three wide with the same three wide every time. That was very low last year. And then I think they were, like, top three this past week when I looked at the numbers, just on, you know, using that formation. Like, there's a reason that Justin Jefferson said what he said, that he's excited that they're not a running team anymore, that they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. And, yeah, the change with O'Connell, I mean, I just kind of think the whole thing. And I watched a video post-game of the locker room celebration, and that, you know, Kirk Cousins giving Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the general manager, a game ball, you know, that wouldn't have happened the last time around. Like, that was a lot happier of a locker room, even with wins that they had last year, than I've seen from Minnesota in a while. And granted, I wasn't there, but I've talked to a lot of people the last couple of days just about how different this one feels. Because they won games the last few years, they just didn't win enough of them, and the culture up there is changing because the dynamic of how they play football is changing. So, you know, with that said, could they potentially sneak away and you know, trump the Packers, who are the division favorites? If Green Bay plays the way that they did and Aaron Rodgers goes nuclear on everybody, then yeah, absolutely. But you'd like to think, too, that with him running the ship in Green Bay, those same sorts of issues you saw week one probably won't happen again week two.
It's so funny, too, Courtney, on a separate note, on Friday we had the long conversation about the dome and everything, and I would have thought, like, 48 hours later you would be standing in a swamp.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? I know you. I heard your hip before the game with Mellor and Dion, and you were right there, I think, on the field in the tunnel. Like, what was that like?
It was something, and I know that people are going to be like, oh, isn't it so great? Like, this is why they don't need a dome. Like,
no.
I will not change my stance. Football and all sports should be played in a building that either has a roof or is enclosed. That's just my personal opinion. You don't have to like it.
I'm with you. Yep. We're unanimous on that front, I think.
Yep. Courtney, great stuff. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
thank
Courtney.
You.
Walking.
I think we lost. Did we lose her at the end there?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I think we lost you.
Sorry
there.
About that. Maybe. No, I was saying, I was by the end zone, the south end zone, and, like, there was standing water, and I was really surprised. Like, at that point, that's about 2 hours until kickoff, and it kept coming down. And so you're seeing pools of water everywhere. That grounds crew at Soldier Field deserves a lot of credit for pushing the water off and getting everything ready to play. Of course, they couldn't do anything in the middle of the game, which might be why the punter brought a towel out for the kick. But no, I mean, I've covered one other game that was of that magnitude, 2016 week six Raiders Chiefs in Oakland. And that, you know, it was a torrential downpour. I have not seen it like that though. And I'm honestly so surprised that the field held up as well as it did, considering they just resodded it 6 days prior to kickoff.
Yep. Great stuff, Courtney. We'll talk to you Friday, all
right?
Thanks,
Courtney.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go. There's Courtney Cronin. You make sure you follow her work. She tweets all about the Bears as well. I want to get to the Fantasy Football Wire, which Mellor, this has been great. This is something I would not miss when Mellor was with Carmen and Yurko in the morning. This is something that I need right now because I'm going to be towards the top in the waiver claims. And I think this is the week, like, it's not a bad week to lose.
I think you have a great team.
To start, because you want to grab some of the players that are available. Don't talk to me like that, you're patronizing me.
I'm not
either.
Patronizing you. I think you have a great team. You're an excellent general manager.
Mellor is going to help us grab these guys off the waiver wire next. Hey, guys, it's Pizza Man, and I also love my frozen.
What up, Pizza Man?
Thank you, Wada. We love our frozen pizza, too, in Chicago, and we know that we can count on Connie's to deliver authentic pizzeria flavor right at home. Connie's means quality because their frozen pizzas are made with only premium ingredients. And whether you have a taste for their famous cornmeal dusted thin crust, sounds so good, or their crispy on the outside, soft and airy inside pizzeria style crust, Connie's Frozen has you covered with restaurant quality pies you can cook on your own time. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold, like Jewel Osco, Mariano's, and you'll bring home the best today. Connie's, real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Do you have an open, or is this like the football music? Is your open for the fantasy waiver draft?
No official open yet.
Jeff Miller. People are demanding, too, a song.
I love football music. I know. I saw
people,
that.
People need a Waddle Courtney. Song for yeah. Courtney Cronin.
We got to work on that. We have to go collaborate in the studio.
We should just riff for, like, and Waddle's
you know
better
what?
At it than
we'll
me, for sure.
We'll have some time. We'll have some time on Thursday when we come in.
Right, because there's two day games here in the next couple of days.
My ass is not coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, I will be at home.
But because it's an earlier start on Thursday, we'll have a longer show. We'll be in studio.
Why don't we go into the lab and create a little something?
We'll try. Yeah, we'll try to do that. Can I give you a little news before the waiver wire? Sure. I thought this was interesting. And we'll see what happens. I wonder if this is the Buck Aikman effect. Is this just a Russell Wilson returning to Seattle effect? But this is from Pro Football Focus. The Broncos-Seahawks game on ESPN ABC was the most watched Monday night football game since 2009 and the most watched week one Monday night football game since 2006. The game reeled in 19.85 million viewers across all platforms, another big night for the NFL.
First of all, the NFL's king. There was a juicy storyline with Russ going back to Seattle. And, yeah, I think that there was also the aspect of having Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on.
Is this the first year that it's on ABC? Is it all? Because was it only?
No, it's just select weeks are on ABC. Like when the Bears play, because it has to be on locally.
Right, but he said ESPN ABC. Was this on ABC?
Yesterday was
as
also
well?
On ABC,
so
too.
So did that inflate the ratings
probably,
a little bit more?
Probably had something to do with it.
When you compare it to some of the other years past on Monday Night Football?
You're right. It always does bump up when it's, even in this day and age, when it's on local
but
television.
But I do think week one usually is on ABC.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering.
I know next week they have the doubleheader, so the first game is going to be on ABC.
Right, and you know what's been weird is, in the past, they've had week one doubleheaders, right?
Yes.
Where game one usually starts earlier and then game two starts later, so you don't have as much primetime action for that singular game like last night.
Correct. Yes.
But, yeah, there
football
you go.
Is glorious, isn't it, though?
It's fantastic.
It's glorious.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Mellor, I'm listening.
Yes.
I can't wait because I hope there are plenty of guys to pick up here. Running backs, perhaps?
Yes, I looked at you and had you in mind when I started prepping this. And I think this goes out to all the folks out there. When you're delving onto the waiver wire, you're generally looking for a running back because that's obviously the hardest position to fill in fantasy football. For you, Sylvie, I think there's a guy who could hit because of the system he's in. This shouldn't come as too much of a surprise to people who play fantasy football, but Jeff Wilson Jr., he's in line now for the majority of the carries now that Elijah Mitchell is going to be gone for what looks like 2 months with the injury he suffered against the Bears this past Sunday. Jeff Wilson previously has had a little bit of a run where he's been a fantasy darling. He had 600 rushing yards and 7 touchdowns on 126 carries back in 2020. So he's no stranger to being the lead back for Kyle Shanahan. So I think he's the guy who you want to target and put up top if you happen to have the number one waiver wire pick like Sylvie does in our league.
Do I have, is it because I was low scorer of the week?
Yes.
Is that how it works?
Yes, yes. You lost and you have the lowest point total. So you
had. What did I score? 50 something?
I think you got into the 70s.
I got into.
So don't be so hard on yourself.
I think you have a great team.
Just because you tied a game. All right, and like you got someone else.
We didn't just tie; we had
team.
A push win.
Listen, all
they
I can
tied in dramatic
all I hear,
fashion.
All I hear myself saying is just saying, "Hey, I like your team." That's all I hear. That's all I hear myself saying.
Jealous much? All right. Also, here, this guy may not be available. I don't know why. Sorry, the music just comes and goes.
I know. I think when you make a good point, all of a sudden it comes back.
Yeah, waiting for it. All right.
Or maybe Abdallah's upstairs trying to do something as well, and it's cutting in.
There it is.
Yeah, see?
All right. Darrell Henderson, he's not available in as many leagues as Jeff Wilson is, but he's available in 54% of leagues out there. Stupid. 82% of the snaps in the Rams' backfield this past Thursday night. That's troubling for Cam Akers owners. If you need a running back and he's available, check it out. Available in 54% of leagues, Darrell Henderson. I think based on what we saw this past Thursday, Cam Akers is not truly back from that.
Cam Akers owners were pissed.
Yes.
I got two friends texting me about Cam Akers this weekend.
Because they probably invested a second or third round pick overall. If you need a Dak replacement, Dak Prescott, as we've heard from Jerry Jones, they're hoping he returns in about 4 weeks.
Mitch.
But in the meantime, no, don't do that to yourself. But Carson Wentz, he's available in 83% of leagues, and real-life Carson Wentz is not somebody you want to trust with your...
How much do you get penalized for interceptions? Because he may have a high touchdown total.
You know
total.
What? That's exactly why, Waddle. In fantasy purposes, Carson Wentz, you can get by with. And as you saw, he threw four touchdowns for Washington this past weekend. He's available in 83% of leagues. If you're somebody who was banking on Dak Prescott to help you out this year, Carson Wentz, I think, is a perfect fill-in to go grab off of the waiver wire.
I was saying to Tyler as we were, you know, our brains were working together, hey, let's keep an eye on Kirk Cousins because you may not like his ability to lead your football team to the top of the mountain.
He's
in real
have a
football,
great fantasy year.
Like in the last couple of years, you're getting 4,500 yards and 30 plus touchdowns a season.
That's a shrewd thought by you, Waddle. You should have used it on draft day because I selected him in our league.
See?
He's gone in most fantasy leagues because he is productive as a fantasy player.
Do you know how many interceptions Carson Wentz had last year with the Colts?
Nine. When he had is it like nine?
Seven.
Yeah.
That's
22 and 7?
27 and 7. So again, like probably better. Like Mallory said, he's a better fantasy player than he is a real player.
And they're going to let him sling it in Washington.
A couple guys to make note of. Listen, I don't love him, but if you're chasing a running back, Rex Burkhead had 19 touches for the Texans.
I didn't even know he was still in the league.
I do expect Damian Pierce to end up, you know, taking over that role for the most part. I don't know what they were doing this past Sunday, but Rex Burkhead had that 19 touches. You can't ignore. He's available in 83% of leagues. Jaylen Warren. How about this? Who is Jaylen Warren? You're wondering. Well, he's the man who is second in line for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mike Tomlin, when asked about his rookie running back's debut, had this to say earlier today.
You know, he didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin. You know? And that's capable of happening for a young guy. And so, but I think that's been indicative of him throughout this process, and that's why he's gone from being an undrafted guy to a guy that's carving a role out.
So there you go. He didn't urinate down his leg.
Yeah, that's a good thing. By the way, did you see, like, remember years ago when Mike Tomlin got pissed, and rightfully so, because was it Antonio Brown that posted a post game.
It was like a Facebook Live. I don't know if it was Instagram Live.
Didn't when they won this weekend in Cincinnati, didn't Tomlin step into one of the post game videos and actually
do the dance? He did the AB dance.
He was doing something too, like
I think it was the AB dance.
Was
wasn't
that what it?
It
was?
That's what I think.
He's
so.
He's so good.
So Jaylen Warren's the name to keep in mind, especially if you're somebody who has Najee Harris. Harris says he's going to play this week, so that's good news for him. But I would go make sure you grab Jaylen Warren if you're a Najee Harris owner, just in case, you know, you hate a running back dealing with leg injuries so early in the season.
What if I have Harrison Butker and his foot isn't working?
Well, listen, there's plenty of kickers out there.
Okay.
And Cade York, the kid from the Cleveland Browns, put on a display over the weekend, hit that 57-yarder to win it for the Browns. Any guy who's got a big leg is somebody who I'm interested in for fantasy purposes. A couple of oldies but goodies. How about this for wide receivers? Julio Jones. He's available in 56% of leagues. He ran 20.68 miles per hour, one of the seven fastest in all of football this past, according to Next Gen Stats. He looks like he's healthy again. So.
He looks trim and sleek.
Yeah, and not only that, but with Godwin going down again, you would think it's a perfect storm for him.
Yeah, Godwin's dealing with a hamstring injury, likely out 2 or more weeks. So that's exactly what Sylvie's talking about there. Jarvis Landry in New Orleans lit it up for 7 catches for 114 yards. He's available in 42% of leagues. So maybe not available in your league, but just check it out because he could be out there for you. How about this? This is a long shot, but Christian Watson, everybody saw him drop the touchdown against the Vikings this past Sunday. He was wide open, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like if Aaron Rodgers is going to get right this year at all, it's going to be partly because Christian Watson figures it out just a little bit. He's not going to replace Devontae Adams, but I do think he's a big play wide receiver who might be worth stashing away on your bench in case he actually does, you know, get the dropsies out of his
game. Good call.
So, and then finally, if you're looking for a tight end, Gerald Everett in Los Angeles for the Chargers. He's available in 86% of leagues. He had 3 catches for 54 yards and a touchdown this past week. He's somebody who, in that Chargers passing game, could be an answer for you if you're looking for a tight end, because maybe you drafted George Kittle early and he's dealing with that groin injury. So there you go.
Nice. I love it. Well done. I still like your team.
Who are you talking to?
You.
Me?
Yeah, I like your team.
Don't second guess what Tyler does if you're going to give him autonomy to be the general manager.
This is co-ownership. This is Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham right now.
I don't even know this isn't about us. I just said I like your team.
I got to tell you about the text that Waddle sent me too last night. I'm going to text and tell. Mellor's Fantasy Waiver Wire is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. You like that? Text and tell? We will text and tell coming up next with Abdallah.
Hey, everybody, Tom Waddle here, and my friends at Voss Equipment, they say supply chain issues are really starting to improve. Here's what's just in. 2 new lift trucks from Yale, the GC050 that provides efficiency and agility in tight places, and the ERP040 that features industry-leading maneuverability, making these 2 new Yale lift trucks a must-have. Look, I don't drive lift trucks, but industry pros are going to be thrilled that these lift trucks are now available and in stock. These Yale machines can provide reliable, durable solutions for many industries and facilities, both indoor and outdoor. Visit VossEquipment.com today and see this and other restocked items. Drive your operation to new levels of productivity. Go to VossEquipment.com.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
That's right. Not only is it a great Tom Petty song, it's also the theme of a Bulls video. We'll lead their first championship video, Learning to Fly.
Haven't seen that one in a while.
I used to watch that on a loop in college.
Friday nights? Oh. Before going out? Yeah, you came back in from the bars? Which one?
Yeah, you think I'm getting anything out in college? Like, I'm coming home and I'm watching.
Just looking at box scores.
Bulls videotapes. Yeah. Like, if we had the internet, I would have to wait for the paper the next day.
I was
going to
say, you got
to
be home early so you can wake up, be there for when the paper shows up.
Get the paper on the doorstep.
Looking at box scores.
Be like, it's... You know what? It's 1 a.m. and half hammered.
Oh, my God. Ryan Sandberg had a double and a triple in today's game.
You want to come out? No, I got to be here to find out who won the Mets game.
Put the Bulls tape in again. And it was a tape back in the day. Abdallah's with us. He's coming up here before the White Sox play. I got this, Abdallah. He didn't want to play. First of all, we had to twist his arm to go in and co-own this fantasy team. In the league, you know what it was,
Adam? They really didn't want me in the league.
No, we did.
They just needed another warm body that had a couple hundred dollars on them.
Well, the same thing happened when Chris and I were in the league. Chris and I co-owned a team.
Yeah.
And they were like, do you want to be in it? You guys are here during the day now. They're like, I guess.
Is that how we sell the team?
Yeah, kind of. It was like, you guys have been here long enough. Do you want to be in the league?
You know what? You want to go to prom?
Like, I guess.
All right.
Yeah, the other girl said no, so.
Okay. I'm in.
We've already talked to Waddle a lot about fantasy football, but I got a side text. We broke off into side text conversation.
No.
10:17 last night, Waddle texts me. I thought at first maybe, Tyler, he was thinking he was texting you.
No.
But he was texting me. The McManus miss saved us a tie with the defending champ! !
Oh, my God.
I sent it. Little different emotion that was going on at that time. Yeah. It wasn't quite the giddiness that
it's
was just displayed.
It was a box score giddiness.
I put exclamation exclamation marks on a lot of stuff.
I wrote this text, ha, 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 told you that you would love fantasy, and then two laughing, crying emojis.
Do you guys worry about side texts?
Why?
Like, so we're all in a text chain.
Yeah.
So I'm...
Oh, no. I'm not talking smack about anybody.
No, I'm just saying.
Like, are you saying... Relax. That you accidentally think that you're texting a side?
No. I'm saying like if you have a group of friends and you're in a text chain and then all of a sudden you text the other friend like, what is this guy thinking?
Or the subgroup. It's even worse when it's the subgroup chat. So it's like a group chat of five and then it narrows down to three. Like what's going on?
You've got a group like us that doesn't have any ill thoughts about one another. You don't know that.
You might not be a part of it.
We're trusting.
You might not
trust each other.
You might be the one we're talking about.
We have inflated views of how people, right. You always have to have inflated views of how everybody else is talking at you.
Waddle, do you really care, though?
I don't give a rat's ass.
No.
Like, what's Waddle doing in the text chain today?
Right.
Don't care. Duh. Again, with a duh. What's on your mind?
Half of the texts we send to each other don't even get responded to.
Don't.
It's just like burping. I needed to get that out. Now I'm good.
Yeah. But it's like there's the one night that just keeps you coming back where it does flow and there's good conversation.
It's Bears games.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's sitting on their couch.
It's Sylvie's birthday.
Yes, it's Sylvie's birthday. Yeah.
Who changed it to the
Sylvie? I was riding my bike and I got it.
I thought you changed it to it's Bears season.
Well, Sylvie didn't like it.
Well, I didn't. Okay. I kept seeing my name when it came up.
Because on Saturday, it was Sylvie's birthday. And there were a bunch of happy birthday texts. So I changed our text thread name to Sylvie's birthday text thread.
How do you have the authority to actually change it?
Anybody can do it.
You can constantly do it.
Sort of like Wikipedia?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to change it to muted.
I'm just going
text chain to muted.
There's no doubt, and I joked with
Connor. Oh, it's definitely muted.
I joked with Connor when you were gone about this. Like, I asked him.
Cool kids mute text chains.
The old guys don't care. No, I just don't want to feel like I have a vibrator in my pocket on Sundays. I mean, come on.
That means you're loved.
Take it off the vibrating.
Turn it on quiet and no vibrate.
I saw that the pass was incomplete. I don't need a text about it. I'm watching the same game.
It's just we want to be your friend.
I understand
that. We just want to be your friend.
You know what?
This friendship's over.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
it's
not.
Over.
No, it's not.
Over.
You know, you're not.
Just put your phone on whatever non-vibrate is. Just do that.
So you're always a vibrate guy, huh?
Yeah, I'm never. I'm only loud when I'll turn the volume on when I'm expecting a phone call from, like, my wife or something like that.
No, but I'm silent. Like, I don't ever have the ringer, nor do I vibrate.
What do you mean you're not vibrate?
I don't vibrate.
How do you know if people are texting
mine's
you?
Mine's not on vibrate
just,
either.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Just look at your phone to see
if there's an emergency.
Damn, any text messages?
An emergency?
Well, then we'll get to you when we get to you.
You have children. What are you talking about?
Mine are adults.
Yeah, I'm not talking to you. You have children.
But you know me. I'm addicted to the phone where it is near me most of the time.
That's fair.
Like, what am
he
I going?
He doesn't need vibrate. It's always in his hand and he's staring at it.
That's true. That's true.
All right, what are you looking at? Are you more I told you so's today? What are you going?
No, I heard you say that,
but I also heard you say you didn't pick them to win on Sunday. So how can you say I told you so if you didn't pick them to win?
I said I didn't think that they would win, but they could be in a position to win.
Well,
there's a difference.
There's a difference. You don't get an I told you so for that. Your girl gets an I told you so.
Today's I told you so's.
Good.
I'm going after the haters today.
You even corrected yourself though the other day when you're going, they're not haters,
they're doubters. That's what it is. Yeah, I'm
like
going
that.
After the doubters.
That's better
today.
Instead
I'm going
of
after
calling
the doubters
everyone
today.
A hater.
Right. Swinging at ghosts for 2 hours.
I'm not swinging at ghosts. I have receipts.
You are Robert Sala.
I have receipts. I mean, you know, I'm
Robert Sala without running the stairs
little
over there.
You have as much successful coaching experience as Robert.
I'm just saying, I have receipts.
All right. Well, thank you to Barstool, Big Cat, Greeny, and also Courtney Cronin. And Jesse joined us, too, with the La Russa News.
Hey there, buddy.
Still not back for a couple more games at least. Who knows? Thank you to Jeff Meller, Tyler Aki, for Waddle. I'm Sylvie. ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.